Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome to the broadcast, Monday 24th, 2013, and I've had a couple of cups of coffee and so excited to have you with us on the line. And so you dialed in via the website listing live, or as I see many people dialed in with their cell phones, office phones. Thank you for joining us another week on the Lincoln on Lending program. This is a first-of-its-kind mortgage program that's broadcast and created by, produced by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we're thrilled to have been awarded the Innovation Award of 2013 by the Progress in Lending folks. Real honor. Appreciate you being here with us. We have as our special guest in the broadcast later on, Dave Savage, the mortgage coach and co-founder of Real Estate Radio Network, another guy in radio. I'm real excited to have David on the broadcast. I met him at Mastermind 2013 a few weeks ago back in Las Vegas. It was hot there, but it was hot program, great guests. And David's got some technology that he had. He's got a passion for mobile apps. You're going to really want to stay tuned all the way through the broadcast. When we get to the Hot Topic segment, when we have Dave on the broadcast, sharing his wisdom, knowledge, and experience, it's great to have him here with us. We appreciate him taking time out of that area. Now, he's up there in Portland. It's so nice and cool, and it's, you know, maybe even just a little rainy going on. So it'll be fun to connect. It's hot here in Texas. We're here in Austin, Texas, broadcasting live. Joe and Andy, and well, Andy is actually up in Tennessee today. Alice is up in Detroit. So well, let's get started from hot Texas with Joe Farr and talk about what's going on in the markets. Hot, hot stuff.
Hey, Dave.
Oh, special thank you.
Really.
Just got to say special thank you, Joe, to United Guarantee and Alamo for being the sponsors on a broadcast. So thank you, sponsors. Now to Joe.
Yes.
What you got for us today?
Well, I hate to tell you this, but MBS prices are down again today, but we are well off the lows for the day. You know, we opened this morning early with prices below, down again, more than 1% from where they ended the day on Friday, but have since improved, and we've seen some favorable price changes. So, you know, question might be, have we hit the bottom? You know, I've been
yeah,
hoping for the last couple of days that we'd get to a point when investors would decide, well, I'm okay buying at this price and or at this yield, and maybe we've gotten there. We'll see.
Is it?
And there's a big reaction.
I was going to say, is driving this is Fed action?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a continuance of Fed action. There's some other things going on, but it's all about the Fed and what the Fed's going to do and how long they're going to be in the program, when they're going to, if, not so much if, everyone's now expecting it's that they will. And so we're seeing what the market's like without Fed involvement. But I did want to bring everyone to everyone's attention because we have had a very rapid rise in rates, and that might weigh heavily in your calculations of the higher priced loans, in that the average prime offer rate, the benchmark, is a derivative of the Freddie Mac survey. And let's figure out how this thing's calculated. The average prime offer rate comes out today, and today it's 4%. Now, today's average prime offer rate is less than last Monday's average prime offer rate, and that is because it's calculated off of the Freddie Mac survey, and the Freddie Mac survey is calculated off of Monday and Tuesday mortgage rates. So none of the post-Fed price drop rate increase is built into this morning's average prime offer rate. And I bring that up because that could be as much as half of the cushion. You know, the cushion in most cases is 1.5 over APOR, and rates are in some cases 75 basis points higher today than they were last Monday. And so I want to ask Alice, Alice will know better than I, what circumstances come into play more often using the average prime offer rate, because it really could be an issue for all this week. Now, next week, the average prime offer rate ought to shoot up. So, Alice?
Joe, I think it's a very big point. Everyone should be, I think, concerned about this, especially on their FHA loans, because, as you said, the change in the rate is going to impact this threshold. So we're talking about Section 35 of Truth in Lending that allows you a 1.5% increase from your APR to the average prime offered rate before you hit Section 35. Now, so what that means is for FHA loans where the LTV is over a 90%, the annual MIP is now lasting for the life of the loan. It's not going to drop, and that's what's pushing up APRs anyway. Now, with this impact, I think lenders need to take a good look at their pipeline. Keep in mind the trigger point is based as of the day the interest rate is set. And so then that's the day that you would use that APOR effective that date. So, Joe, you're bringing up a great point. Yeah.
Well, and who knows what rates will do between now and this time next week, but chances are the APOR will be much higher this time next week.
So the challenge for lenders then is what is your lock timing and what will your investors take? Because, you know, Carol Galante came out with a letter to say, look, you know, for all practical purposes, our FHAs are already pretty well in compliance with Section 35. It's just that when you trigger Section 35, you know, sometimes you have investors that won't purchase those, or your company policy is that you won't do those.
Right.
So that's really the big thing to take a look at.
Okay. Well, just a word of warning.
Yeah.
Good word.
So let's talk about last week. Everyone knows it was all about the Fed statement and the following press conference. The statement came out Wednesday at 2 Eastern time, and there was a pretty immediate reaction in a negative way toward the statement. But then Bernanke started his press conference, and as he described their thoughts and their discussions and their perspectives on tapering and tightening and the economy, the market really moved lower in price. In the statement, they talked about the economy was improving and that the downside risk to the economy had diminished, which was perceived as a little more, a hawkish statement about the state of the U.S. economy. But then in the conference, when he tried to answer the question about when would they taper, of course, he used all the right words, and they came out with very little change to what had been said in the prior cases, meaning that they could begin to taper when the economic conditions supported it. But this time he went on to say, if things are happen the way that we think they're going to, then we would begin to taper toward the end of this year, and we'd be probably through with the MBS and Treasury Purchase Program by middle of next year, which was, sort of in your face. This is the plan, and the market reacted very negatively in that it would take, I think, a pretty significant change in the path of the economy in order for them to change that plan. So, and we have what we have now, which is life without, or what we should expect in an environment without the Fed being a huge buyer. The economic news.
I mean, that's a real interesting conundrum there. I mean, because, what Bernanke has been following in a student of the Depression. He is trying his best to engineer that. And the Fed policy back in the 30s that got us into such a problem was they thought things were recovered and they started backing off on their managing of interest rates. And so now Bernanke is now saying, we see that this is starting to get good. He's signaling that. The question is, Joe, timing. Timing is everything. So it'll be sort of fascinating.
Everyone's probably heard his analogy is that when they begin to taper, that's not tightening. That's like a car driving a car. It's letting off
braking
on the accelerator, but not yet hitting the brake. It's just letting off the accelerator. So,
Good analogy, tapering and breaking are two different. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. The market's obviously perceiving that as breaking.
Well, and the other thing you got to ask yourself, and in the in his comments, it sounded as though he was kind of resolved that rates needed to get higher, and we all know that. And do you really want to go back to the 3.5% rate, knowing you're going to go through this pain again? I'm not so sure they're in that camp. The economic news last week was really kind of mixed and didn't have a big influence on things. Now this week, there's economic news, but it's all going to be about this continuation of if we hit a bottom, when, at what point do investors feel comfortable buying again? Just a lot of sellers right now. So, be watching out for that. And there are growing concerns in Europe over Italy some growing concerns about Greece again. And then China.
Greece again.
China has tightened their banking regulations or has just made it harder for smaller companies to get loans in China, which is a slowing event. So they're doing a little tightening there. At the same time, the Fed's announced they're beginning to tighten. So, it's weighing on the world economy, and rates around the world are going up. This week's economic data, tomorrow durable orders, new home sales, none of these, I think, are going to be significant. PCE coming out on Thursday, core PCE, will probably indicate inflation's still low and not a concern, but it's an important measure these days, especially given the Fed's choice to rely on PCE. In fact, they quoted PCE in the conference. First quarter GDP's final look, not a big deal. Treasury auctions on the 2, the 5, and the 7 on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday might be interesting to watch with the new environment out there.
It's definitely good. It is a new environment. It's the Fed speak is having everything to do with it. Yet we've got China and Greece and Italy out there. Lots of potential for volatility, Joe. Just amazing.
I got
a question.
Yes.
Another bookmark. Make sure you check the screens as we go to the exit in the broadcast. Give us a quick update, knowing that it's kind of one of those potentially volatile days to see what's going on. So make sure.
Okay.
And how's the equity markets performing? How stocks?
They're down 170. They have been down more, and so they've kind of gone in the same path as MBS prices. Some rally back, but still down considerably.
Joe, how do people exist out there in volatile markets without a service like MBS Quoteline? I just don't know.
Yeah.
I tell you, I've been traveling a lot, and I'm sitting here. I'm literally in Bloomberg's offices last Monday. I did a radio broadcast with Tom Keene in their studios in Bloomberg Radio. And I'm sitting here, and you know what? They've got all the screens and all this data. MBS Quoteline is one of the most concise services that just brings it to you and brings it to you in a concise manner. It's just so refreshing to have it. And, folks, you need to get a hold of this service. And, Joe, we thank you for bringing information to us each and every week. Folks, stay tuned. Here's how you can get signed up for MBS Quoteline. Here it is. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Dave Savage a little bit later in the broadcast.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to mbsquoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. mbsquoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us. We've got Paul Molo on the line, back on the broadcast. We appreciate him tuning in and being a part of it. Folks, and if you have not checked out their blog, it's imfnews.com. Paul, good to have you here. What are you tracking for stories today?
Thanks, David. One of the bigger stories sort of is the Supreme Court has decided to take on the case known as Noel Canning versus the National Labor Relations Board. And the reason mortgage bankers need to worry about this is it's all tied in with whether Richard Cordray is also a legal recess appointment.
Yeah.
And if he isn't, then all those rules that they've been promulgating and that go into effect could be, you know, thrown out the window temporarily. Everyone knows that these rules, you know, are eventually going to come into play and become the law of the land, but it could mean the deadline's getting pushed back, and a lot of people feel that January, I think it's 14th or whatever it is, of 2014 is too soon anyway. So that was an interesting development. That happened this morning. Inside Mortgage Finance just got finished crunching its loan sales. These are secondary market sales by banks, mostly Fannie, Freddie, and into Ginnie Securities. Volume was down a little bit in the first quarter. That's really not that surprising, you know, given where rates have been. Rates obviously was a big story. I heard you guys talking about that. You know, it's not everyone knew rates were going to go up, by the way. What really makes the story fascinating is how fast they went up by how much. I mean, that's what's got a lot of people talking. There's a lot of nervous shops out there that have been heavily tied in with the refi market, and that's got, you know, there's a lot of nervous people out there. Shops that are, you know, big in purchase money or have at least half their volume in purchase money, you know, they're feeling, you know, maybe they're going to be in a position to buy market share as this thing, you know, hits the fan, so to speak. But, you know, again, we don't know whether this, you know, run up in rates, whether, you know, this is the end of it. The 10-year, right before I came online, the 10-year was at 2.59. You know, 10, 12, 15 days ago, was it, what, 1.8? So it's a fast, you know, move up in rates. And it'll be interesting to see how the consumer reacts. You know, we've heard all sorts of talk about there's not enough, you know, homes to buy in the hot market. So, you know, you can't buy as much house anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what gives.
Yeah.
Have a First Guarantee in Maryland. They're going to roll out a warehouse program for loan brokers. We got that breaking news on the website, imfnews.com. So that's an interesting development. You know, warehouse lending to brokers and small bankers has been a tough niche. It looks like that business could come back a little bit. So, and then, you know, we generally have in our short take section in imfnews.com, we have a bunch of little items. You know, Sandler O'Neill says REO prices are firming up. That's good news. We're expecting a lot of big banks to sell REO by the end of the year. We also have an exclusive on Freddie Mac finally selling its Taylor Bean and Whitaker servicing rights. That's about $20 billion portfolio. So that's all the good stuff right now. So, you know, it's an interesting start to the week. Let's put it that way.
It is. And you're tracking it all. You're there on top of it. It's a great website, folks, if you want to go to. It's published daily. The best part, it is free. And you can get access to it by going to www.imfnews.com. Paul, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to be with us. And be sure to say hi to Guy Sakala and everyone there, and look forward to chatting with you all very soon. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Alice Alvey, there's so much going on in the world out there. Let's get into finding out what you have for us related to the legislative update. Man, I'm just overlooking IMF News, Alice. There's so much stuff. There's so much here.
There is. Yeah, there are so many bills right now that we're trying to track and trying to determine which ones are really worth watching and which ones are just kind of fluff. So I do want to tell you that we have House Bill 2402. It was introduced last week to replace the director of the CFPB with a five-person commission. So to kind of dovetail off of Paul's story there, I mean, this is not going away, so this is something we'll continue to watch. I did find a bill that I thought was interesting. You know, we're all grappling right now with the three-point test and the qualified mortgage rule. And there's a House bill out there, 2462. There's no text available on it yet, but the title of it was interesting. It was to amend subsection A7 of the Small Business Act, which is basically your SBA loans, to eliminate guarantee fees for loans guaranteed under where the total loan amount is not more than $150,000. I like watching those trends where they try and impact pricing through legislation. So we'll see what happens on that front, because we're also watching, you know, the other bills related to QM, and, you know, most importantly, we've got House Bill 1135, which is cancel Dodd-Frank altogether. So, you know, we're all holding out hope for that one. But generally speaking, too, I want to give everybody a heads up about social media guidance and the proposal where this comment period closed a couple months ago. But we've had a couple important testimonies in the last week or so. We've had the MBA was given an opportunity to speak on this last Thursday related to social media. And you all need to start thinking about this now, because regulators are thinking, do we need additional legislation on top of what we already have? And I'm here to tell you, the Mortgage Acts and Practices advertising piece within Reg Z really does touch on a lot of this already and already make you obligated. And they brought up a few important points. You know, is my policy just to oversee my company, or does my policy have to oversee the actions of all my employees? And then how far does my corporate liability go into things that they may be talking about related to the industry in their personal space? You need to address all of that now, regardless of where this proposal might go and whether or not it actually becomes law. I think the social media guidance and planning needs to occur now at your shop, so make sure you get that on your to-do list. Then, last but not least, there was a hearing on examining how the Dodd-Frank Act hampers home ownership, and this was June 18th, last Tuesday. There were quite a few people there. The Center for Responsible Lending testified, Chairman of the Board of West Banco of the ABA, and, of course, Deborah Still from the Mortgage Bankers Association, and MBA brought up great points that we're all trying to tell people, this is going to cost more. This is going to change who's eligible for home ownership as we all just kind of get into our safe harbor for a little while. But then you have, you know, a couple of the other groups saying the Dodd-Frank Act struck the right balance. So I'm not agreeing with those, as you might guess. But anyway, that's my report today. If you're interested in what Congress heard, you can look this up online for the U.S. House of Representatives Committee Repository. All the reports are out there for your reading enjoyment. That's my report for today, Dave. I'll take it back to you.
Alice. Thank you so much to track, so much to follow, and we appreciate you and your staff, and congratulations on your sale of the company to Indicom. Very excited about all of that.
Yes,
Joe, I heard someone, did someone have a question for Alice before we exited off into the ad? Joe, I wasn't sure if someone, I thought I might have heard someone jumping in there, but I want to make sure there was all the questions answered. Alice, so good to appreciate you being here. So good to hear your report. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals, providing classroom and web-based delivery, and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin'.
Good to have you back. By the way, thank you so much for your messages, your texts. It's really encouraging as I'm doing the broadcast to get it. Jan Wetzel of Wetzel Trot gave me this T-shirt. She was going through a store, and it has this. She says, I don't have ADD. Look, a squirrel. It's a T-shirt I should wear on the broadcast, because when you guys are sending me emails, I love reading and stay in touch with them, but it does get off and I get distracted on what's going on. So my other slightly ADD, better at focusing friend is the Profit Doctor, also known as Andy Schell, and we have him on the broadcast. Good to have you here, Andy.
Hey, Dave.
The things that we're getting a lot of banks, Andy, as you know, contacting us, a lot of bankers, community banks are jumping in the space. And one of the things I was thinking about is when you and I were on a call earlier, a lot of people don't understand that there are derivative violations going on, and it's applicable not just to banks. So I thought if you could share some of the Profit Doctor wisdom with
this thing. Most bankers, most independent mortgage bankers say, I'm not dealing with derivatives. I'm selling on a best efforts basis. What do you mean? That derivative is a complicated word, and I must not be doing something complicated.
Well, I think that there's a lot of elements to this that come into play, and we think about how much is enough, and then we also need to think about the small things, because it's the small things that can really get you. And if you think about how much is enough, I'm currently on the broadcast from Eastern Tennessee, where within about 10 miles of where I am right this second, there's a coal-fired electric generating plant that burns coal to generate steam, to generate turbines, to generate electricity, and there's a hydroelectric dam that generates, uses water flowing through to turn the turbines to generate electricity, and there's a nuclear plant that has a reactor online. So how much is enough? There's three different kinds of significant electricity production happening within just literally
all
10 miles of where I am.
All representing various phases of technology, which is a fascinating metaphor there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you take all of that and you think about, wow, okay, great, how much is enough? We got three different kinds of electric generation here. Okay, well, how does that apply back to banking? And what I wanted to get to is the small things. What about the small things? Well, with a coal fire plant, they've got all the burnt coal has to be released, and it causes all kinds of problems. It's like a coating of black that goes over the cars. And what happens if you have just a little bit of the plutonium leaking out of the reactor? So you've got this great big stuff, but little bitty things do matter. And we try all this back to banking because people may think about we've got this big production operation and we're doing great and all this activity is going on, but what about the little things? And the little things I'm talking about specifically is interest rate lock commitments. When we say to a customer, we're going to extend to you credit on a rate structure that's going to be pre-established, and within the next 30 days, as long as this loan closes and you qualify, we're going to give you this rate at these rate and fee structure. Now, that is a financial commitment. That's a market risk financial commitment that is subject to certain provisions under GAAP that come from Enron. At Enron, we had off-balance sheet financing facilities that caused all kinds of problems. An interest rate lock commitment is an off-balance sheet financing facility. It's an off-balance sheet because there's no place on the balance sheet that it goes because it's a commitment. There's no asset yet. So it's an off-balance sheet financing facility that's subject to market risk. And because it's an off-balance sheet financing facility that is about to become a loan but has financial risk, it's considered a derivative. It's from there is derived risk, and it's going to become a loan. So, therefore, it's a reportable event on every report there is, the CFPB, NMLS call reports, the OCC call reports, FDIC call reports. All these reports have this requirement to report the content of the locked pipeline and the unrealized gain in the locked pipeline, which is all considered derivative. People always think about the hedge side, the short TBA position, as being
right.
Derivative, and it is. But so is the interest rate lock commitment. And here's where the last point I wanted to make on this, Dave, is that under GAAP, when the CPA is evaluating the financial statement, they're going to apply a materiality standard, which basically means that little things don't matter. They're just going to kind of average it together and call it good enough because CPA auditors don't come in and look at every single transaction. They do scope sampling, and they do ways of getting testing to kind of make conclusions about the financial statements as a whole. They don't look at every single transaction. From a regulatory reporting perspective, you cannot estimate and you cannot take averages. It has to be exact. So if you have one interest rate lock commitment outstanding at the end of a month, you've made one loan lock commitment to a customer, that's a derivative transaction that has to be reported on your call reports, irrespective of anything else. Doesn't matter if it's just one. So small things matter. We care about small things in nuclear power plants, and we care about small things in interest rate lock commitments. They both are important and have to be reported accurately every time, always.
You know, it seems like plutonium is just a little bitty thing. It's just such a small element. But when that leaks from a reactor, it has devastating consequences. If you're not keeping track of the little things, the derivative things, and Andy just went into it, listeners, pay attention to it. Go, I'm a loan officer. I don't care. Yeah, you should care if you want to have long-term stability at your employment, because if they don't do it right, they could get in a real problem, and there's a penalty for that. Prophet Doctor, you are just always filled with so many insights, going from a nuclear reactor, plutonium, and to derivative calculations. My head's hurting a little bit here. So, I mean, we just I love it. I always feel a little more intelligent when I'm done listening to the Prophet Doctor.
Glad to help,
folks,
Dave.
If you want to get a hold of the Prophet Doctor, the best way to reach him, you prefer email, Andy?
Email's really good, and it's easy, because what's the name of our firm, Dave? MBS. And what's my name? Andy. So andy@mbs-team.com. That gets to me. Easiest way to do it.
Good. Well, we are excited to have you be with us each and every week, and safe in your travels. I know up there, and don't get too close to that nuclear planet. I mean, it's one of those things.
Oh, man, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go there tomorrow and look at it.
You're going to start throwing rocks at it. I know you. Oh, what fun. Folks, we're going to be back with David Savage right after the break. He has just got some wonderful information to share with you, and we're thrilled to have you be a part of the broadcast. And by the way, have you told others about this broadcast? You got to do it. Share it. That's how our listening audience continues to grow. Thrilled to have you here. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you with us, folks. And we're excited to have David Savage with us. And before I bring him on the line, I want to just tell you, I was in New York City this last week, had the privilege of sitting down with, many of you know, Andrew Berman and his dad, and Joel Berman, who own National Mortgage Professional. It was so much fun because we get together, these guys are friends, and we get together and share ideas and visions of what's going on. Folks, they're launching a new program, radio program, and TV, the whole thing. It's called National Mortgage News Update or something. I can't remember. Joel, forgive me. I'm just slaughtered at it. I should have written that down. But you go over to the National Mortgage Professional magazine, and it'll lead you to that broadcast. But we're excited. We're going to be doing some things with them and in conjunction with them as well. So much going on in technology and everything else. It's important, folks, that you get out and go to these conferences, some of the things that are going out there. I went to the Mastermind Conference, and I have met so many good people. I knew a lot of them. I knew them reputationally. But Dave Savage was one of the guys I had not had the privilege of really getting to know personally. And I tell you, I am excited. His energy, his knowledge, he's got a lot going on. He's a 20-year veteran with experience in mortgage as a mortgage executive, a business leader. And here's one thing that got my attention: mobile technology. He's a pioneer in it. He also is the founder of Smart Reply, and it was a lead presence with mobile marketing. Again, a lot of things he circulates around mobile marketing, but he's also probably best known as the Mortgage Coach and the Real Estate Radio Network, another radio guy. I love it. Hang around all these radio guys. I probably might get good at this eventually. But he's good at just coaching so many of helping millions or thousands of loan officers and millions of homeowners get financing. He's passionate about leveraging the mobile technology of reinventing the home buying experience. David Savage, good to have you on the broadcast. What an honor.
Hey, it's great to be here. Looks like a great show. I've been listening in and really enjoying all the content, taking lots of notes.
Yeah, my dad says, Dave, you know, you suffer from a lot of average intelligence, talking about this, David, me, the host. And he says, surround yourself with a lot of smart people, you'll do all right. And I tell you, I've taken that advice, and I surround myself with as many smart people. That's why we have Alice and Andy and Joe and all the other people, Paul Mall and everyone else coming on regularly. And now we've got you, and we're interested in getting to know and have you share some of your wisdom. But first, let's start by getting to know your story a little bit, Dave. A lot of people know you, but those that do not in our listening audience, give us a little insights. Tell us your story, how you started in the mortgage industry.
Well, growing up as a young child, I always had a dream of being a professional loan officer and being in the mortgage business like so many
others. You're serious? You had that as a vision as a young guy?
No, that's a joke. I mean, 26 years ago, I don't even know that I knew what a loan officer was. And I always find it fascinating. Everybody's got a story. I don't know too many people that grew up wanting to be mortgage professionals. But I know lots of people that love this job, love our role in the industry. I'm one of those. So, I mean, my story was not like a lot of other people where I met a very successful mortgage professional. I was impressed with him. He became my first mentor, Mel Samick. There's obviously a longer backstory to that. But short story, I fell in love really quick. Although I would have to say 26 years ago when I fell in love, I was really excited with the idea that, you know what, wow, this is a big deal. We're helping people get their homes. But yet, that professional.
Yeah. Yeah, and through your journey of over 26 years, I'm sure you've learned a few things along the way. What are some of the most important lessons, Dave, that you've picked up in your 26-year career?
You know, again, obviously lots of lessons. But I think early on, just how to earn trust, how to keep trust, and how to grow it.
Trust.
I think that was my
trust
early
thing. Trust is such an important factor.
Yeah, it's everything.
Trust is a huge part of it, especially when it comes to a home buying transaction, Dave. It's probably the most important, biggest transaction for 90% of the Americans out there. And so it's so important. So, okay, so you've learned some lessons, and is that what really prompted you to start Mortgage Coach, was to really kind of share some of that experience?
Absolutely. I mean, I learned a few things that you could deliver value and advice. Too many homeowners, too many loan officers were focused on rate and payment. I believed advice was what really mattered. And so Mortgage Coach was just, you know, how to automate that, how to make it easier for loan officers to deliver more advice faster.
So you've done something called that is now known as wow selling. It's something that I think that's a bit of your signature. Tell us a little bit about it. And then I want to get the mic over to Joe.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but the name of the company that started Mortgage Coach is called Wow Tools. And it was Mortgage Coach was really born as the first wow tool. And to sum it up, make it quick, you know, wow selling is how the best salespeople in the world win by surpassing expectations. So really just making selling simple. If you surpass people's expectations in a positive way, you'll do pretty well in this world.
Joe Farr.
Hey, this is Joe Farr. Yeah. I understand that you've been about interviewing a lot of loan originators to find out more about what they're thinking, et cetera. Tell us what you've learned from all that interviewing you've been doing.
Well, I mean, for the past 5 years, I do a Tuesday morning coaching call. Not a lot different than this, although it's more of a webinar format. And I always interview someone that's super successful, someone that's closing over 8 loans a month. So it's really loan officer focused. And, I mean, I've learned so much, but, I mean, there are some common threads, like the concept of wowing people. You know, the best loan officers, the best salespeople, they over-communicate. They set good expectations. They consistently surpass them. Although I would say the biggest difference, it's always the why. You know, why are you playing this game of wowing versus winning?
Mm-hmm.
Average loan officers just want to win a loan by quoting rates and payments. The best of the best, they're playing a different game. It's about blowing people's mind with advice and value. So, I mean, those are a few of many concepts that I've learned over the years.
Tell us also, Dave, about home buyers. You know, as they're in the process of taking a mortgage, what kinds of mistakes do you hear about? And you know, what are some examples? Some of the most egregious mistakes home buyers make.
Well, I mean. Yeah, I mean, to me, the biggest mistake is that most home buyers really focused on what can I qualify, what's my monthly payment, and what's the interest rate. And to me, that's, you know, those are important things, but probably more important is what is the cost of that debt over time and what are your options. And probably the most important thing, most people want to be debt-free someday or they want to have a level of financial freedom. So let's start with that. How old are you today? How old do you want to be when you have your mortgage paid off or when you achieve financial freedom? Now let's back into the right mortgage today, the the right payment today. And so I just think the industry is backwards. You know, we start with monthly payment rate, and we should be starting with bigger goals, bigger dreams.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, hey, it's Andy. Thanks for being on the call. You know, one of the things that you were just talking about is effectively taking a more holistic financial management approach to the mortgage transaction. What, again, long-term goals, total financial package, all this other stuff, rather than just, you know, get the loan, get the rate. So I applaud you for that. But what I wanted to also learn about, and I know that you have the service called the Mortgage Coach. And so I'd be interested to understand better what your vision and goals are for the Mortgage Coach in the coming years.
Yeah, so, you know, in the early years, our goal is all that how many loan officers can we have on our team delivering our advice. You know, we've been doing that for 15, going on 16 years, and really the goal today and where I spend all my time and why I'm excited about radio shows like this is it's how can we enlighten more borrowers? How can we deliver more experiences where people start with, hey, how old do I want to be when my mortgage is paid off? What's the total cost versus loan A versus loan B? Okay, I want this one. And so I'm playing the game right now where it's just all about changing the mortgage experience in a better way for homeowners so that they make good decisions that achieve whatever their goals are. And
yeah.
I don't care whether it's an FHA borrower or a, you know, multi-million dollar loan. Let's be intentional and thoughtful about it.
Well, you know, Dave Licken and I are partners, and Dave kind of heads up all the marketing social media for our firm. And so he's got all kinds of Twitter this and Twitter that and Facebook all over the place. And so I follow Dave on Facebook, and I happen to notice that on your Facebook, there's a picture of you with Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, the very famous financial planning guru with radio broadcasts all around the country. So, you know, you're there in his studio. How'd that happen? How do you know Dave Ramsey?
Well, first of all, that was an amazing experience. His studio is, it's an amazing campus. So if anybody ever gets the chance to take a tour of it, it's a pretty special experience. But he refers all his business through Churchill Mortgage. Churchill Mortgage is a very dedicated Mortgage Coach client. They are very committed and dedicated to helping homeowners make informed decisions around picking the right mortgage to achieve their goals. So I've had the chance to have dinner with him, to be in his office, and I've just got to rub elbows with Dave a little bit, and it's been pretty inspiring and pretty cool.
Hey, Dave. Dave Licken has mentioned the Real Estate Radio Network. Tell us what that involves.
Well, that's another project. I'm a very minor co-founder. Ron Quintero, the CEO of Real Estate Radio Network, is the driving force and the vision behind that. But it starts with a problem. You know, most news that people get as it pertains to real estate and interest rates, and by the time you see it on CNBC or wherever, it's old. It's not necessary. There's always a spin around it that I don't think is necessarily the truth. And it's also not extremely timely. So that's the problem for the homeowner and the consumer. And we solve that by taking local experts in local markets who are industry experts, they're realtors, they're loan officers, and they want to build a platform and helping them do that. Teaching them how to have a radio show, helping them find the right radio show in their market. And we've helped over 100 mortgage and real estate professionals start, manage, and execute a weekly radio show. And some are even have daily radio shows. So Ron is the leader and the CEO behind that, but I had the opportunity to jump in at the ground floor and be an investor and help as much as I could for a Mortgage Coach.
Wow. Dave, sounds like you're in just a little bit of everything. And I'm looking at some of the notes from Dave Licken. It's like we could spend more time on every one of these topics, but we only have, you know, 10 minutes left. But there's information here about you have a passion for mobile innovation. And, you know, I've got several 20-something grown kids, and I learn more talking to them in 30 minutes about what's happening with mobile innovation than I can keep up with on my own. So tell me about this. I love technology. I love mobile technology. What are you thinking in mobile innovation?
Well, again, long story short, I had the opportunity when I was with Smart Reply. We helped some of the nation's largest retailers really start capturing mobile numbers. And we started doing this back in 2006. So in 2006, we saw where the ball was going. You know, less phone numbers, landline phone numbers, more mobile numbers. And then you look at where Apple today is, you know, fastest growing, highest market cap company. They're a mobile company. So I don't think it's any secret to anybody that the future, and I would even say today, is about mobile. It's about delivering advice and value where people want it, when they want it. So, you know, the internet was all about, hey, it's 24/7, 365, anywhere and everywhere. But it wasn't anywhere and everywhere. It wasn't in your pocket. It wasn't when you were meeting with, you know, borrowers at a home with a realtor and you need to make a decision. It wasn't anywhere and everywhere. Well, mobile brings it where it needs to be. So you're a home buyer. You're out looking at a home. You need mortgage advice. Pick up your iPhone. Pick up your Android. Pick up your iPad. Get the advice you need anywhere, everywhere. So it's really that simple. It's just mobile is ubiquitous. Some of the social media, you know, Instagram, some of those things, those aren't for everybody. But using your mobile device in an intelligent way, it's for everybody. And that's fun and exciting stuff for me.
Dave, the rise in rates that we've seen in the last few days have certainly caused people to begin to think, how do I replace my refinance activity? And they're going to do that by getting purchase loans, and that means working with realtors. So share some of your ideas on how a mortgage professional can help a realtor.
Well, first, I think you need to get out of the box where I'm a pre-qual machine who sells rates and payments. And, I mean, that's a whole change in paradigm that you need to be an advice provider. From a realtor's perspective, yes, I do what I say I'm going to do on time and under budget. But if you really want to separate yourself in this market, you need to bring mortgage strategies to bear. So, you know, things like, hey, your job is to find the first-time home buyer the house of their dream. My job is to help create a sense of urgency and clarity around home ownership. So, you know, first-time home buyer's analysis. Same thing for a move-up buyer. Your job is to help them find their dream and their lifestyle from an emotional perspective. My job is to help them understand the financial, you know, excitement of what they could do. So a move-up analysis. So I just see the mortgage professional really needs to change who they think they are, because you can't differentiate, you can't build trust quickly, and you can't be, you know, super, super successful unless you make that paradigm shift. And at Mortgage Coach, and something I'm passionate about, is powering loan officers with those mortgage strategies that are relevant in a purchase market like today. And again, that's another place where mobile fits in, is helping a loan officer differentiate by saying, hey, I'm going to help you make mobile valuable. Most realtors don't even know how to do that themselves. In fact, most realtors, you ask them, what apps are you referring to a homeowner? And they're like, I don't want them, because it's marketing some other realtor. When you ask a realtor how they know when a borrower really loves a home, what do they tell you? It's how many pictures they take. It's how they interact with their smartphone. So being a leader is huge.
Hey, Dave, this is Alice, and welcome to the show. I've got to ask you a question on a completely different front here. I hear a lot of folks who get discouraged now because of all the regulations. You know, what are your thoughts on the CFPB and the compliance challenges? How are you helping originators kind of cope with all this change right now?
Well, first, I just say welcome it with open arms, because anytime something becomes confusing to other people, that's where leaders win. You know, it's taking chaos and creating opportunity and making complex concepts simple. So I love it personally. I mean, I'm not just saying that to have like positive mindset. I am saying that because it's truly an opportunity to differentiate, to take some of this confusion and deliver it to borrowers in a way that empowers them and makes it more simple for them. And when you do that, you differentiate. So, you know, again, another thing that we're very committed to at Mortgage Coach, and probably one of the reasons why we're having so much success, is we're helping companies reduce disparate impact. We're helping them deliver a consistent sales process that helps borrowers make better decisions and helps loan officers thrive in a marketplace that's full of chaos.
Yeah, we try to get that same message across, right? Compliance is just great customer service. So we've got a ton.
By the way, it's true. It's true.
It is.
It's not just words.
It's not ours.
It's true.
I know. But So where do you see things 2 years from now? You know, we've got a lot of change, interest rates. You know, we have no idea where they're going to be. Where do you see things 2 years from now?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, more compliant, less disparate impact. I think
mm-hmm.
those things are, you know, the cheese has been moved and the clarity is there. I see Mortgage Coach helping millions of homeowners making better decisions. So I just think the time is here. People want to be empowered. People are savvy. People have mobile phones. People have internet access. Let's give them what they want. Just simple advice. Like you said, good compliance is just good service.
So how do you create this culture of compliance within the sales folks? You know, a lot of people, too, feel like, doesn't the technology do it for me? You know, how much do I
Great
really,
question.
To me, you know, when I talk to a lot of them and I try and explain how complicated compliance is in those initial discussions, that's like news. And then they go, well, doesn't the system do everything for me anyway and I don't know anything about compliance?
Absolutely. So first of all, technology is a big piece. And when you talk to top CEOs in the country now, they are increasing their technology spend. But it's only one piece of the puzzle. I mean, we need to change behavior. We need to change habits. So, you know, in Mortgage Coach land, the way we create adoption is it starts with the why. You've got to really help people understand why are you doing this and helping them connect in a personal way with their own why around change. And then just driving it through simple actions, you know, just repetitions, you know, just an athletic term, you know, you get stronger through doing repetitions. Get a strong why. You're going to change certain behaviors. And by the way, there's only a few behaviors that need to be changed in the trenches by the MLOs of the world. Change those behaviors. Get some reps under your belt. We'll help you do it. I mean, at Mortgage Coach, we not only have technology, but we have a whole team of success coaches that help drive that why and help drive those repetitions. So it's good old-fashioned, good, simple technology with good old-fashioned one-on-one coaching.
And you're doing that more and more with mobile, am I correct?
Well, you know, I mean, today mobile is a hot term, just like social. 2 years from now, 10 years from now, those are just features within the overall set of what we do. So,
great.
So yes,
good for
we are driving
yeah.
a lot of new habits with mobile because people aren't used to using it in intelligent ways.
Ah,
but, you know,
I like that. So
yeah,
you're saying that the mobile is changing behavior, it's the habit, it's a tool and an enabler to change behavior and creating a greater awareness. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And having more access. And let's face it, you look at a lot of people, and I'm sure there's some folks that listen to this show, when you're sitting on your couch watching TV, anybody in the room got another device in their hand? They got an iPhone, they got an iPad? Absolutely. 67% of online purchases are multi-screen experiences. So just giving people what they need, where they need it, when they want it. And it's really, I know it's a fancy buzzword and a lot of people are using it, but it's just using technology in clever ways.
Well, it's the first time I've heard someone in the concept of changing behavior from that using technology. That's an interesting concept. It's obviously your passion is not just being, you know, this is a cool new thing, so we're just doing this. You know, it's a lot of CEOs understand how important the culture of compliance is and having it there because they're at risk. I mean, especially the business owners that have their personally guaranteeing things, their personal wealth is on the line. But how are you telling mortgage loan originators about this? I mean, how do you connect them with the importance of this, Dave?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's not easy. You know, always CEOs and the executive team is very – you ask them what are your top priorities this year? Hey, it's getting CFPB ready. You ask a loan officer what his biggest concern is? It's leads. I need more leads. I need
yeah.
more purchase
I
loans.
I need leads.
So, yeah, you got to hit them in their heart. I mean, hey – you got a national license number now, and if a borrower complains, you lose. And you know what? You do
yeah.
lose now. So you really got to help them understand delivering great advice, making sure that you can audit the advice that you've delivered to each and every borrower. It's not just good for the CEO. It's good for you.
Yeah.
you got to connect with their why. And Ken Perry, I got to put a shout-out for Ken Perry. He is my compliance guru and helps us with a lot of great advice to help homeowners mortgage loan officers connect with why it matters to them. And it does.
It's got to. And Alice is all over this. She's trying to get the word out and trying to sit with many of them. But a lot of them, you know, you could just tell which ones are serious professionals and which ones are out there just trying to, you know, make another paycheck so they can make their over-leveraged lifestyle work. And it sounds like, especially with your connection with Ramsey, it sounds like you've got this kind of dialed in. It's providing a balance to all of this. And it's really good. You know, I'm looking at the clock. We've got to wrap this interview up, but I wanted to get a couple closing thoughts and just based on what you see going on out there, what are some of the most important things you as walkaways that you want our listeners to know about what you're doing and what they really should be doing, what they should be focused on?
Well, I think everybody came into this year with some annual goals. Most people had a record-breaking yep. year last year. I'm sure everybody has the goal to have a record-breaking year this year. We started out with a couple strong quarters. You know, so don't just plan for the year, don't just plan for the month, but the whole concept from Chip Kelly, win the day, you know, and when chaos starts looming, like it is right now, by the way, get real focused on what are the high payoff activities, which for all you mortgage coach loan officers, delivering a total cost analysis to each and every borrower, that's a high impact key to what winning the day. So I just say just focus on winning the day and know what that win is that helps you hit your annual goals. It's pretty simple. And then last but not least, just be a loan closer to realtors. Be an advice provider. Create strategies.
Good. That's excellent advice. Folks, you can get to know more about the Mortgage Coach by checking out his website, Dave's website. Dave, give us a website and your contact information so our listeners can get a hold of you.
Absolutely, mortgagecoach.com. So that's pretty straightforward, and you can email me if anybody wants to connect at dave@mortgagecoach.com.
Dave, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with us and share some of your thoughts. It's good. I love, fascinated by the whole concept of mobile technology, what's going on. We got to have you back talking more about it. I also love David Ramsey. I should have followed his stuff a long, long time ago. Probably saved me a few heartburns, some heartburn in there somewhere. But avid follower of David. And, of course, he and I are both on Fox regularly, and I've had a chance to get to work with the guy that co-founded his company with him. So pretty exciting stuff.
Cool.
Dave, thank you so much for being here with us.
No problem. And if there's any branch managers that would like to have us do a Mortgage Coach sales meeting, just email me at dave@mortgagecoach.com. Thanks for the opportunity. Enjoy your show. I'll be listening more.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you being with us, folks. It's what's one of the privileges of having this radio program is we get to bring guys like Dave to the broadcast and expose him to you, our listeners. And so that's why a lot of you are telling others about it. And there's such a broad range of information. And it's kind of like what we can cram in 1 hour is always such a challenge. We do our best. We're open for suggestions of what you want. One of the thoughts, several people are saying, Dave, I would like to be able to, can you have a question and answer session? Write me. Please write us at, write me at Dave D. Licken, D-L-Y-K-K-E-N, at mbs-team.com. Again, Mortgage Banking Solutions initials, mbs-team.com. Email me and let me know your thoughts because we're going to be doing some exciting new enhancements to the broadcast coming up in the months ahead. We're working on a new website. Lots of stuff going on here because we are here for you. Again, it's one of the first programs out there. Other radio programs are coming out and online, and we embrace them all. And we want them. It's validation of the concept, and we appreciate you being with us. Joe Farr, what's going on in the markets as we go out the door?
Yeah, it's good. We're about 20, 30 seconds better than many of the morning levels. We're now down less than half a point, whereas we started the day down over a point. So it's at the high for the day, moving in the right direction.
All right. That's good, good, good. And thank you so much, folks. Check out MBS Quote Line. Alice Alvey, without question, the best compliance trainer officer ever out there in the world. You can get a hold of him. And, boy, if you want to know what your bottom line is, Andy Schell at Mortgage Banking Solutions. Ah, so much fun to get all this wisdom. So little time and so much to talk about. Appreciate you being with the broadcast. Special thank you goes out to our sponsors, which, of course, is United Guarantee and Alamo. United Guarantee is special. Check them out. They're on our website. They have a link up there. Check out all the programs. Click on that. It'll get you right out to their website. Get to know the United Guarantee rep responsible for your account in your area. You will be glad you did. Folks, Be sure to tell others about the broadcast, and we'll look forward to having you back next week. Thank you so much.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.